you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I hope you'll follow along with us and read the Word of God with us. Also want to remind you there are several ways you can see the verses. You can see them up on the screen. Most of them will be on there. Or if you want to follow along on a digital device, if you have a phone or a tablet, you can simply use our app, open up our bulletin. If you just tap our sermon notes, it will pull up all of our scriptures this morning and you can follow along. This morning, we are going to be taking the Lord's Supper towards the end of our service. We do that the first Sunday of each month. And so this week, we'll be partaking in the Lord's Supper together. And I started to think about how God has revealed Himself to us through the history of the Bible. And what I realized is that God never changes, but His revelation to us has been progressing since the beginning of time. And we're going to actually look at that in our sermon this morning, but our girls and many of your children who are in Quest Sunday School are learning a Bible verse that kind of says just that. So now I've invited a friend of mine to kind of set the stage for us this morning. Ashton, join me up here on stage to share the Bible. She worked very hard on her Bible verse this morning. And this kind of reminds us that God is revealing different things to us at different times. Now I'm going to put the verse up there. But she know that she just reads small words. She cannot read the verse. So Ashton, what I want you to do is I want you to tell us your Bible verse this morning.
Long ago, God had spoke to the Father who's by the prophets. In different times and in different ways. In the last days, He has spoken to us by His Son.
Where is it? Where?
It's in Hebrews 1:1-2.
Excellent. Yeah, give her a round of applause. She's worked hard to memorize that verse the last few days. So have several of our kids, and they've got several weeks to memorize that verse. But it's a reminder to us that God has revealed Himself to us at different times and in different ways. Now, does God change? No. God does not change. And that's not necessarily what they're using this verse to teach them, but it was a great intro into our message this morning. God has revealed Himself to us in different ways throughout the history of the world. And this morning, I want us to think about remembering what God is revealing to us. While there are many, many, many different things that God wants us to know, there is one thing He repeatedly wants us to keep on our minds. One thing He is constantly teaching us and constantly telling us. And we're going to look at that message throughout the Bible, from the very beginning all the way to the end of time, what He wants us to remember. By the way, the reason why we take the Lord's Supper is because of our remembrance of this one thing. This morning, if you have your Bible, I want to read our passage this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to read verses 23 through 26 in order to see the purpose of the Lord's Supper and how we are supposed to remember. So read along with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth when he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and said, 'This cup is the new covenant established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Here we see Paul giving us the reason for the Lord's Supper. It is to remember Christ. Jesus is telling us, eat the bread, drink the cup in remembrance of me. If you take notes, and I hope you do, this isn't a fill in the blank in your bulletin, but I want you to write this down. This morning's message only has one point, and there are three illustrations in your bulletin. But write this down. If you write anything down this morning, write this down. God wants us to remember He saves us. If you write nothing else down and remember nothing else this morning, think on this. God wants us to remember He saves us. Really, our entire message this morning, this is the one focal point. And throughout history, this is what God has been teaching us. He saves us. And He gives us different ways throughout the Bible to remember that His desire is to save us. Complacency breeds a sinful heart. And I'm afraid often, because we do the Lord's Supper 12 times a year, often we can come to the Lord's table complacent, kind of apathetic. We take the Lord's Supper and we eat that little square cracker and we drink that little cup of grape juice and we maybe say a quick prayer, Lord, thank you for Jesus, and we pass it to the next person, and that's all that goes through our minds. And we become very complacent that we're not functioning, not partaking of the Lord's Supper the way it was intended. We're not remembering the salvation that is offered to us. So this morning, I hope and pray that we will not come to the table, that we would not take the Lord's Supper this morning with a complacent heart, but that we would remember that God saves us. And this message is not just a church phrase thrown out, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. It is to be proclaimed and believed that we have salvation from our sin. The guilt that we should have is no longer present because the blood of Jesus Christ has wiped it away and the righteousness of Christ has been put on us. We are not the same. We are changed. And we don't receive what we deserve because God saves us. This morning, our entire message is a message preached through the Bible. Now, don't worry, I'm not planning on going all day and all night to preach from Genesis all the way to Revelation. But I want to look at three different ways God has revealed to us an opportunity to remember that He saves us. And the first is in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, He gives the people the Passover. The Passover was a way that you and I, if we were in the Old Testament times, could remember that God saves us. And we're going to look at how the Passover started. We're going to look at exactly what was going on in the Passover and how that will eventually lead to the Lord's Supper, which will eventually lead to our third illustration. But this morning, I just want to take a chance to read in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14, why we have the Passover and what it is for. The first 11 chapters of the book of Exodus are a story of the nation of Israel becoming slaves in a foreign land in Egypt. So as we read chapter 12, think about these people being enslaved and God sending a man named Moses to set them free. So God is saving the people, rescuing them out of oppression. God does this in miraculous ways. Whether you're familiar with the account of Moses or not, you probably have at least heard of the 10 plagues and how God has sent up to this point 9 different plagues, each one attacking the gods of Egypt in order to demonstrate, I am the true God, the rest are false, and my goal is to bring salvation to the people. The first 11 chapters are God speaking to Pharaoh saying, I want to save the people. The 10th plague, which will come after chapter 12, will finally convince Pharaoh to release the nation of Israel. God's salvation will come to a head and He eventually will rescue His people. And He wants the people to remember that they've been rescued. And so He gives them the Passover. The Passover is not just a way to get out of the punishment that God is bringing, although it does that. It's a way to get out of the wrath of God and to be set free, to be given a new life. God says, this is such a big deal. I want to give you this feast to remember it by. And so we see in Exodus chapter 12, 14 verses giving instructions for the Passover. Read with me in Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month is to be the beginning of months for you. It is the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, they must each select an animal of the flock according to their father's households, one animal per household. He gives a few more instructions. Look at verse 5. You must have an unblemished animal, a year old male. You may take it from either the sheep or the goats. You're to keep it until the 14th day of the month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel will slaughter the animals at twilight. They must take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses. Look down in verse 10. Do not let any of it remain until morning. You must burn up any part of it that does remain before morning. Here is how you must eat it. Now this is important. You must eat this sacrifice in this way. You must be dressed for travel, and your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You are to eat it in a hurry. It is the Lord's Passover. Then he instructs what's going to happen during this Passover. He says, I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and strike every firstborn male in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. I am Yahweh. I will execute judgments against all the gods of Egypt. Verse 13, the blood on the houses where you are staying will be a distinguishing mark for you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague will be among you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. After all of this, he says, this day is to be a memorial for you, a remembrance, and you must celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. You are to celebrate it throughout your generations as a permanent statute. God says, I'm about to save you, and I want you to set up a memorial and a remembrance that we're going to call the Passover. And to fully understand what's going on here, it's a foreshadowing of what Christ will do for us. A beautiful picture. Let us not forget what happened at the Passover. God said, the nation of Egypt is deserving of punishment, judgment, and my wrath. The sins of the people in this land are so great, they have earned and deserved a punishment from God. It's easy for us to look at the Egyptians and to say they deserve wrath and punishment. They enslaved people. But I think what we often miss here is that God is including the people of Israel in this judgment. You're in the land, and you will certainly receive this wrath as well. You know, often in our own Christian walks, or in our own daily lives, whether we're Christian or not, we have this idea that some people deserve judgment, but we're pretty good. We're God's people, and we show up at church, and we do the right things, and we say the right things, and we hold our tongue when we're supposed to hold our tongue, and we lash out in anger, in righteous anger, when we think it's appropriate for us to lash out, but we're always in control, and we're not as bad as some others. God's reminding the people of Israel, you too will experience this judgment. Let us never forget, no matter how mature we get in our walk, that we deserve the judgment of God. We should receive the wrath that God is giving. But God says, I'm giving you a way out of this wrath. Now that doesn't mean nobody receives wrath. Somebody has to pay for your sins. Yes, you Israel, you oppressed, you people who think you are great, you also deserve judgment. And somebody has to pay for your judgment. Take either a sheep or a goat, and I want you to slaughter it and take that blood and wipe it on the doorposts of your house, on either side and across the top. And I want you to know that that blood represents the judgment that you deserve. Instead of you being the recipient of my wrath, that sheep or that goat is the recipient of my wrath. When I see that blood, the blood of a lamb or a goat, I will pass over your house and not bring my wrath to you. What an amazing picture of God's grace and His mercy. You deserve judgment, but I will put my judgment on something else. God says this is such a monumental occasion that I want you to celebrate it every single year. He tells the people of Israel, year in, year out, find you a goat or a sheep. I want you to slaughter it, and I want you to paint your doorpost with it. Because I want you to always remember that I am the Lord, and I am saving you. Now, sometimes His salvation doesn't come the way we think it will come. You think, why does an innocent animal have to die? Why do we have to eat it in such a hurry? Why is there all of this gross ritualistic blood? Again, it's a reminder that God requires judgment and punishment. The people are in a hurry because as soon as Pharaoh receives judgment, he's going to say, get out of here, go. So he says, eat it with your clothes on. I know it's nighttime, you're ready for bed, but I'm telling you, when all this goes down, Pharaoh's going to say, get out, and you need to be ready to go. Put your sandals on, put your robe on. I want you to be ready. Get your staff in your hand. Don't go to bed, because once the judgment comes, God is calling his people to move. It's not a fun night for the Israelites. This wasn't a celebration during the Passover. It was a difficult time of salvation. They were tired. They weren't ready to go. Can you imagine those who had small children? Think, Lord, my children normally go to bed at sundown, and here you want them to be ready at midnight? I can't get them motivated. Have you ever tried to wake a kid up from sleeping? I mean, it doesn't happen very easily, right? Lord, I'm not ready for this. You mean I've got to be up all night? We've got to go and we've got to move, and these sandals aren't comfortable. I just kicked them off after a hard day of work. And sometimes salvation doesn't come the way we expect it to. God says, remember that I will save you. And I, the Lord, am the one who will accomplish your salvation. Be ready and go when I say go. Yes, I'll forgive you of your sins, but you've got to be willing to submit to me as Lord. When I say move, you move. So we see an Old Testament example, a reminder that the Lord saves us. And for all of the Old Testament, the people celebrated the Passover. Why? To remember that God saves us. And so we move into the New Testament. As we move into the New Testament, they're still practicing the Passover until Jesus comes along. And a few days before his death, he says, let's take the Passover. It's time for the Passover. Let's go get a lamb. Let's go through all of the steps and let's talk about the Passover. And he takes that bread and he takes that wine that they would drink as a reminder of God's salvation. And he says, this bread, which is supposed to represent the lamb that we just slaughtered, this bread is me. And this cup that is supposed to represent the blood that forgives your sins from that sheep we just slaughtered, this blood is my blood. Jesus is saying, I am about to become your Passover lamb. And he initiates in the New Testament the very first Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is an extension of the Passover. It's a reminder that instead of doing this every year, Jesus is about to do it once and for all. So that we don't have to year in, year out, go find a sheep or a goat, slaughter it, paint our door frames with it, consume the whole animal, or burn up what we don't, and stay up all night with our clothes and our sandals on our feet. We don't do this festival anymore. Why? Because Jesus says, I am the Passover lamb. I can do it once. I don't have to do it every year. You don't need to come back every single year and get saved again. Every single year that you are in me, every single year from the day you accept me to the day I call you home, you are saved. It's a reminder that God saves us. And so our main verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we read just a moment ago, we read again. Paul says, I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. Remember this. I received it. Now I want you to remember it. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave it, broke it, and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he also took the bread, or took the cup, and said, this cup is a new covenant established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We don't participate in the Passover anymore, but we do take the Lord's Supper as a reminder that God not only saves us with the blood of a lamb or a goat, but now God has saved us ultimately because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect lamb. And so when we take the Lord's Supper, we come and we remember that we are, like the Israelites, enslaved in sin. That we don't deserve salvation, we deserve judgment. But Jesus Christ took the penalty for our sins. Finally, as we look at verse 26 here, We see that it says we eat this bread and drink this cup. We proclaim the Lord's death when? Until He comes. We talked about how God reveals Himself in different ways at different times. In the Old Testament, He says, I want you to remember my salvation by the Passover. In the New Testament era, which we're in right now, we're continuing on in that, this new covenant. Jesus says, I want you to remember my salvation through the Lord's Supper. There will come a time when the Lord will return. And in that time, I'm not so sure that we'll continue to take the Lord's Supper on a week-in, week-out basis. Our memory will be completed when we understand that the return of Christ ultimately saves us. And so in the church age, we're looking forward to Christ's return. We take the Lord's Supper. It's important to look back at how He saved us. It's important to look at how He has saved us from our sins today. But let us not forget that Christ is returning and will ultimately make us perfect. So how do we live our lives then? If Christ has called us to salvation, we anticipate His return, how do we then live our lives? We live it with our sandals on, ready to go. We live our lives with our robe on and our staff in hand. Lord, where You call me to go, I will go. What You tell me to do, I will do. Because I have confidence that not only have You forgiven me for my sins, but that You will complete my salvation and make all things perfect. We see in Colossians 1, 14 through 20, it says, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in Him, in Christ. He, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now listen to this. Everything was created by Him. In heaven and on earth, the visible, the invisible, whether the thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He's before all things, and by Him all things hold together. He's also the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He might have first place in everything. Now listen to this. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in Him. And listen, because He's created all things, through Him to reconcile everything to Himself by making peace through the blood of His cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. When we take the Lord's Supper, it's a reminder that Christ is not only saving us, but He is ultimately bringing salvation to the entire world. Now that does not mean every person will accept His salvation, but what it means is He is going to get rid of things that are of sin, and He's going to recreate and reestablish a new heaven and a new earth where all of it is reconciled to Him, all of it is made perfect, and we will live in an eternal perfect state. There will come a time and come a day where God's salvation is completed, where we no longer struggle with temptation and sin, where we no longer have pain and sorrow, we no longer have the hurts of this world, where we are made perfect because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So as we take the Lord's Supper, let's look back at the Passover and how God saved the people from Israel and remember that God saves us as well. Let's look to our present salvation and say, Lord, I'm ready to go. I've got sandals on my feet and my robe on and my staff in hand. Where You call me, I will go. And let's look forward to a future day where Christ will return and complete the salvation that He began in us. God wants us to remember He saves us. So as we come to the Lord's table here in just a few moments, your invitation time needs to be a time of reflection. Of God, do I understand the salvation I have in You? Do I understand that I'm deserving of sin, just like the Egyptians and just like the Israelites? Do I understand I'm deserving of judgment because of that sin? Or do I understand that You've offered a way through the blood, not just of lambs, but of Your Son, Jesus Christ, for me to have forgiveness of sins and my guilt washed away. This morning as we come to our time of invitation, we're asking, Lord, let us walk so close with You that we would remember Your salvation on a day in, day out basis. Will you pray with me? Father, we come before You and we understand that we are imperfect and we're deserving of Your wrath. We're deserving of Your judgment. And so, Lord, we can't help but acknowledge this morning that we're sorrowful and we're helpless. Lord, we're thankful that through your Son, Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. That we no longer have to live the life that we once lived, but we can live a life for you. Lord, let us remember the salvation we have, and let us remember also that we need to be ready to do what you call us to do. Lord, salvation is more than just accepting your blood. It's surrendering our lives to you as Lord. And so, Lord, let us be ready with sandals on our feet and robes and staff in hand, symbolically saying, where you go, we will go. What you tell us to do, we will do. And Lord, we look forward to the day that we will see you face to face, that the struggles of this world will pass, and that we will walk with you hand in hand for all eternity. Lord, this morning during invitation time, let us be mindful of the salvation which we have received, if we have received it. Let us worship you for it and remember how great you are. Lord, let us also examine our hearts and ask, do we truly know this salvation? Or maybe we were thinking because we were in church, we had everything together, that we didn't need the blood of Christ. Maybe, Lord, there's someone here this morning who thinks they're good enough or has done good enough things, that they're relying on their own strength. Lord, we pray this morning to let them see both the Egyptians and the Israelites needed salvation. Lord, in the Old Testament, both the Jewish people and the people of the world, the Gentiles, needed your salvation. In the New Testament time, both those people who went to the synagogue and worshipped and those who were sinful needed your forgiveness and your salvation. And Lord, this morning, all of us, whether we come here week in, week out, or whether this is our first time, need your salvation. Lord, help us examine our hearts, and before we take the Lord's Supper, have assurance that we know that you have saved us, that we remember your death on the cross, the forgiveness of our sins. We submit to your Lordship that you would guide us. Lord, we ask you would help us do these things in your name. Amen.